while promising that it will be the biggest and best party ever held in the state of Utah, even pushing aside the Winter Olympics. The chairman of the Spike 150 Commission, Doug Foxley, joining us now on the phone to talk about all that's being planned to celebrate the Golden Spike, the last rail driven to complete that transcontinental railroad. Good morning to you, Doug. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, hey, Leslie. Just delighted to be with you and chat with you. And got sprinkled with a little snow here in Salt Lake, and I'm sure you got even more. So let's celebrate that, too, okay?
Yeah. So for those of us who didn't get to study Utah history in fourth grade, can you tell us why this is such an important piece of Utah's history?
Well, it's not only important to Utah, but the country and to the world. When the final Golden Spike was driven at Promontory Summit on May 10th, 1869, this was really the equivalent of the moonshot. It was the greatest technological advancement of the time. Prominent American historian Steve Ambrose said that it was really, but for the Civil War, the most significant event of the 19th century. Because all of a sudden, you could travel from New York to Sacramento in 7 days instead of literally taking months. Instead of spending literally thousands of dollars, you could travel for under $100. I mean, this connected not only the rails, it connected the telegraph. I mean, it made us really what we are today.
And certainly back then in 1869, Salt Lake City, a growing city, how come the meeting of the Union Pacific and Central Pacific Railroads didn't come through our state capital?
Well, Brigham Young obviously wanted it to come into Salt Lake City, and eventually when the Union Pacific didn't pay him and the Mormon graders for the work they'd done, they took basically pay in materials built the Utah Central Railroad, but basically it was determined, and in large part because of really the tragedy that occurred to the Donner Party, that it would be easier, safer to go on the north side of the Great Salt Lake because there was more water. It was just a better route to go than coming south and kind of going west after that time.
So, as I mentioned, the commission is planning a variety of events under the slogan, Let's Party Like It's 1869. How long have you guys been working on this?
Well, we've been working over 2 years. State legislature authorized this a commission to be formed 2 years ago. And, you know, people of the state of Utah and other places have been extremely generous. We've raised over $8.6 million in real dollars or in-kind dollars. And we're going to have over 150 events literally throughout the state of Utah. And I have to tell you, one of the coolest is going to actually happen in Summit County. And Chris Robinson, of course, who's on your county council, has been one of our awesome commissioners. But on Wednesday, May 8th, coming down Weber Canyon is going to be the 4014. This is the big boy. This is the largest steam locomotive ever made. It's just barely become operational again. This thing is amazing, and it's going to be coming down Weber Canyon. It's going to stop at Echo at about 9:30 on Wednesday, May 8th. It will be there for about 15 minutes. And I am telling you, this is something that you and everyone ought to go see. It is just, it is an amazing thing. It will join up in Ogden with the 844. We'll have the two trains in a cowcatcher fashion, similar to what happened out of Promontory when you had the Jupiter and the 119. But this is going to be literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people will be following the train down from Evanston. I am telling you that I-80 will be packed. The overpasses will have literally hundreds, if not thousands, of spectators. And of course, everybody's going to want to see this amazing thing when it comes through several of the tunnels there in Summit County. And so it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah. So we got Utah Highway Patrol working with us then to make sure that.
Well, listen, I have to tell you, the Highway Patrol and Public Safety. They have been amazing. And, you know, it's interesting. There was a big competition between the Central Pacific coming from Sacramento and Union Pacific coming from Omaha. And the Center Pacific wanted to have the meeting of the rails. They wanted to get all the way to Echo, and or as they called it, Echo Junction, and because they got slowed down in the Sierras, basically, you know, going through those, you know, granite rocks, they ended up not meeting at Echo Junction. Most people thought they'd meet at Ogden, but UP was moving a little faster, and so that's why they ended up at Promontory Summit out in western Box Elder County instead of in Summit County or in Ogden, Utah.
Yeah, now the track through Echo and Weber Canyon is still used by the trains. Is it the same alignment that existed back in 1869?
Pretty much the same alignment, yeah. And it's fascinating, but of the original Transcontinental Railroad that was started construction in 1862, it pretty much follows the same route, except where that portion of the track, which was abandoned kind of from Crean, Utah, out to Lucien, because in 1902 they built the Lucien cutoff to go across the Great Salt Lake. But pretty much literally from Sacramento into Omaha today, but for that one section, the railroad pretty much follows the same alignment, yeah.
Hmm. Let's see, as I mentioned, we've got a variety of events under this party, like it's 1869. On specifics, there is an event at Promontory on Friday, May 10th. My understanding that is sold out, but there are kind of going on through the weekend. So both on Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th. Can you tell me what's happening then?
Yeah, sure. And by the way, there's going to be a great event at the Kimball Arts Center, and which you know, I need to put a plug in for that great facility that you have up there. But on Thursday, May 9th, in Ogden, where these trains come together, Ogden, they're going to close down Wall Avenue. They're going to close down 25th Street. They're going to have just, you know, railroad days there. It's going to be magnificent. The trains will be in Ogden, of course, you know, through Sunday morning. Then they'll be going back up Weber Canyon. So if you miss them coming down the canyon on Wednesday, on Mother's Day, on the 12th of May, they'll be going up. We're going to have a cultural celebration, which will be held with the Utah Symphony, the Tabernacle Choir, and Broadway stars Megan Hilty and Brian Stokes Mitchell. On Friday night at the Conference Center. Tickets for that will go on sale for the Tanner Gift of Music. Not go on sale, but they will become available for free on April 15th. So we've got a great, great, great website. It's called spike150.org, spike150.org. It lists all of these events and others. We're going to be shooting fireworks off of the front lawn of the state capitol over the UP depot downtown, but I think they're even planning on doing a little fireworks show up at Echo. So I know there's going to be one at Heber. I know on Friday evening, May 10th, they're going to have of course the Heber Creeper out, and they're going to be doing all sorts of cool events literally throughout the state.
And so they're at Promontory, though. There's also, like I mentioned, on that Saturday and Sunday, you've got kind of a festival atmosphere happening.
We've got a festival, and we've recreated the Hell on Wheels town out there. So all 3 days going to, of course, do reenactments, have musical guests out there. It's going to be a pretty amazing thing that's going to be occurring out at Promontory out at the Summit.
Yeah.
And I have to say, we are so, so delighted. Just a couple of weeks ago, the site was finally authorized and declared through an act of Congress and signed by the president. It's now a national historical park. So we've got the Mighty Five, and now I guess we've got the Super Six.
Yeah. And again, the difference was it was just an historic site. So I guess the main
right.
difference is that it was just a single historical feature. Now we can actually kind of expand to and provide perhaps more resources to the historic park. Yeah,
that's right. And we really want to honor the forgotten heroes of this great endeavor, whether it's the Chinese, the Borman Graders, the Irish, the free slaves, and others. It's pretty significant. I have to tell you, Promontory, the event is going to be televised live without interruption on KSL between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. That will also be broadcast and made available to UEN to be broadcast all of the 640,000 school kids throughout the state of Utah and elsewhere. We've got Lauren Tom, who was in the Joy Luck Club, who's the Andy Mack show, and of course she was Wass's girlfriend and friends, and on and on and on. She's going to be our narrator out there. We've got John Meacham, who was President George Herbert Walker Bush's official biographer. He's going to be speaking out of Promontory. Of course, you know, he spoke at President Bush's and Barbara Bush's funeral. And we've got just so many exciting things happening. But the one thing I really want to say that is really going to be exciting, this is going to be free to everyone. But beginning on May 4th and running through June 25th, in the Utah State Capitol building, second floor in the governor's reception room, the Gold Room, we have got the 1862 Pacific Railroad Act signed by President Lincoln. That about the Gold Spike.
Hey, Doug, you're kind of cutting out. Can you get back to where you were?
Can you hear me now?
That's better, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, we've got the Golden Spike, we've got the Nevada Silver Spike, the Arizona Spike, and the new Utah Spike, along with the Stanford Mall. These are all going to be on display at the Utah State Capitol building in the Spencer F. Eccles Treasures exhibit, and it's free to the public, and this has never happened before, and I doubt it will ever happen again, but the National Archives is bringing this document out. It's costing us several $100,000 to have this thing here, but this is going to be just something where we can celebrate this great tradition and history. And so, you know, I hope everybody will make a trek down to Salt Lake and spend a little time at the Capitol building, in addition to seeing some great exhibits we got throughout the building.
Yeah. What about the original Golden Spike? I had heard that that was going to be displayed somewhere.
The original Golden Spike, you know, it's a fun story. We were able to get it. Stanford, the Cantor Museum, finally were kind enough to give it to us. And because we were able to get it, it's now at the Utah Museum of Fine Arts with a phenomenal display of the original photographs of Hart and Russell, the two official photographers of the Central Pacific and the Union Pacific. So it will be coming from the UMFA to the State Capitol building. And so we will have the original Golden Spike, which is here, and it will be at the Capitol, you know, and we'll have it here through the end of June.
Okay. And I had heard that there were actually originally three of them, but we only know where two of them are now?
Well, so there were three. There were four spikes at the site, the Golden Spike, the Nevada Silver Spike, the Arizona Composite Spike, and all three of those will be on display. There was a fourth spike, a Golden Spike, that was given to General Granville Dodge. And that spike has been lost. So we're not exactly sure where that one is. But we think we may have found it. We're trying to get it authenticated. But so three of the four spikes will be there, plus the O.C. Tanner and the legislature authorized the creation of a Utah spike. So we're going to unveil the Utah spike along with these other spikes.
Okay. And as you mentioned, there's a lot more information on spike150.org. I know we'll be talking with the folks here in Summit County about some of the events happening. Of course, we've got the film being shown May 2nd by Park City Film, the Chinese Exclusion Act. We've got, as you mentioned, an exhibit happening at the Kimball Arts Center. Well, good job, and looking forward to celebrating. Is Utah the only state making a big deal out of this, though?
Well, I have to tell you, starting in Sacramento and Omaha's, everybody's been celebrating this. It's gone long, but I have to tell you, we're inaugurating a piece with the Utah Symphony. That's that's done by a Chinese-born composer, but that will also be performed now by 11 symphonies, including the Sacramento, Reno, Omaha, and other symphonies. So there's a it's been a grand gala, and when the original event happened, they literally shot cannons in San Francisco and over New York Harbor and rang church bells throughout the land. And, you know, we're going to see how much of that we can recreate here in a couple of weeks.
Okay. All right. Again, appreciate your time, Doug Foxley.
Oh, listen, so been delightful chatting with you, and all the best to you and all your great listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And that's, again, the chairman of the Spike 150 Commission, Doug Foxley. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. It's 8:31 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, despite the excellent snowfall this winter, more than half of Utah's resorts are closed for the season, including the two right here in Park City. In the studio with a look at what's left, I have Ski Utah's Director of Communications, Caitlin Fearing. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's going to be a good powder day somewhere. Where does somebody need to go?
Well, you have a couple of options. So Solitude, Brian Head, Brighton, Snow Basin, Alta, and Snowbird are all still open. And we have a couple of those resorts that are actually offering some good spring skiing deals, specifically at Solitude. So their closing weekend is actually coming up this weekend. But if you want to head over there, they're doing a $55 lift ticket for anyone with a season pass at any other resorts. You know, so any locals up in Park City that have an Epic Pass, Icon Pass, Deer Valley Pass can head over there. And Brian Head and Snow Basin are doing similar deals where any season pass holders from any resort in the world have a ticket. They can get discounts on those tickets as well.
So. Okay. So what are we looking at then in terms of the rest of the resorts closing out? I think Snowbird's the only one that doesn't have a defined closing date.
That is correct. They're pretty proud of that, you know, hashtag longest season in Utah. And, you know, as you guys have seen, it's been a super active spring weather pattern. And if that continues, you know, we may be looking at some 4th of July skiing for them, which is always fun. But I believe they are doing full-blown operations through Memorial Day at least. And then they'll kind of see how the weather goes the next couple months beyond then. But as far as the other resorts, April 21st is a big closing weekend. That's when Brian Head, Brighton, Snow Basin, and Alta will be closing. But then Alta is also doing a bonus weekend, as they've labeled it, opening the next Friday through Sunday, April 26th through 28th. So still plenty of skiing to be had if people want to venture out of Park City.
Okay, so really the only one closing this weekend then is Solitude.
Correct,
and
yes.
And then the rest of them holding off until the 21st of April.
Yeah.
And then again, the additional weekend of Alta for that April 26th through the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know a lot of resorts asking you to buy now and save. So can you talk to us a little bit of that in terms of who's offering what?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think across the board, you know, the earlier you buy, the better the price is going to be. You know, that goes for the multi-resort passes, like the Icon Pass and the Epic Pass. That also goes for resorts' individual passes. I know that, you know, for next year, Snow Basin is going to be included on the Epic Pass, and that's really exciting. With the Icon Pass, as far as we know, no new additions in Utah yet, but anyone buying the 2019-2020 season pass now will have spring access to a limited number of resorts. Solitude is on that list, but like I said, since they're shutting down here in 2 days, got a limited time to get in there, but there are some resorts in California that are included on there as well. So if anyone's feeling like making a spring and or summer trip, because they're also staying open for the next couple months here.
Okay, and then Snowbird also offers some kind of just a spring-only pass, huh?
I'm not sure on that detail. I know that Brighton has something like that available. I think it was $200 for their spring pass. You know, I anticipate that Snowbird will be coming out with kind of like a similar deal to what these other passes are doing, where if you have a season pass at other resorts, you can go there and get a discounted lift ticket rate. They did that for Earth Day last year, and that's coming up, so we could see something like that from them. But yeah, I would just encourage everyone to kind of do their research if they're still looking to get some skiing in. And like I said, buy those passes early for next year.
Yeah. In terms of what Ski Utah offers, you offer it for what, fifth grade students, the passport? Tell me about that. People can register now for next year?
You know, they actually cannot yet. Mm. So we had a really great improvement with the program this year in that we took it digital. So we were able to leave the signups open longer. Typically in the past, we've had to shut it down just because we had to print out booklets and mail them out, and that can take a long time. But with the digital format, we're actually able to leave the passport open through last weekend. So through, the April 6th closing weekend for those resorts. So applications are closed for this year. But if you have a, incoming fifth or sixth grader, I would just encourage you to keep an eye on our website throughout the summer. We typically open up those applications around Labor Day weekend. So still going to be doing it. It's still going to be digital. But the applications are closed for this season.
Yeah. And how does that work? I mean, it gives free skiing then for
it fifth does. Graders. Yeah. So, so you pay a $45 administrative fee, and fifth graders get 3 days at, each of Utah resorts, and then sixth graders get 1 day at each of Utah resorts. So, I mean, $45, it averages for both a fifth and sixth grader less than $1 a day for all that skiing, which is just super fantastic. Like I said, I feel like with the new digital program, we've had a lot of people take advantage of it. I know we had close to 11,000 people sign up this year. So we're just really, really happy with that program and really excited that families in Utah and out of state as well have been able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, any way to track? Of those 11,000 kids, did
yeah? So, so we're still, kind of going through that data, but that is a part of the digital aspect that we're excited about. We've been able to see, where people have signed up, where they're from in the past, but this will just give us a little bit more insight, and hopefully, continue to help convert. New skiers and snowboarders. As you might know, we have our fourth grade program as well, which is kind of like the starting point for this, where we bring fourth graders from schools around the state up to resorts for a field trip day. And then, like I said, we hope that they sign up for that fifth and sixth grade passport program. And then, eventually we hope to make lifelong skiers out of them.
Okay. And then in terms of looking at the season, I mean, it's like, makes your job real easy, Mother Nature, and we've always heard that, but you still tended to market where you market, and
definitely. I think with a season like this, everyone was just really excited about it, locals and visitors alike. I've lived in Utah for the past 5 years now, and this is by far one of the best seasons that I've seen. Had some really, really great powder days. We're just super happy with it. With us having a solid, three and a half weeks of resorts being open still, we don't have too much insight into that kind of coveted skier number that we love to look at every year. Anticipating that we're going to see a good number of visitors from this year.
Yeah, well, we're hearing, from Deer Valley, they're reporting numbers up again, the ICON pass. And so I guess if we saw the resorts like that,
Exactly. But I think with the help from the snow too, I think we probably saw a lot more people, booking those last minute trips because they're like, oh, Utah just got 2 feet of snow, which was pretty much every other day this year. So yeah, we're just really happy with it, and really excited to kind of finish out the season here with a bang and then move on to next year.
Okay. I think you have all this information online.
Yep. If everyone wants to head over to skiutah.com, like I said, we still have our snow report up and running for the resorts that are open. And then, to keep track of all the deals for next season and our passport program, you can head over there.
Yeah. And again, what are you going to be busy on for the summer? Are you working on next year's marketing already?
Yep. Yeah, we are. The resorts that we have here in Utah, they truly are four season resorts. Here in Park City, I feel like we see some of the best of it with, the Deer Valley Concert Series, the mountain biking at both resorts, you got the mountain coaster over at Park City, all these really fun things. And, we support the resorts during the summer as well. SkiUtah.com puts out a lot of great content on all of those summer activities. And then just planning for next year. Like I said, resorts will slowly be announcing what's new for the season. Just helping get the word out about that. And just helping spread the word about coming out to Utah.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
No, that's it. Like I said, just if people want to stay up to date, head over to SkiUtah.com.
Okay. Caitlin, thanks. It's Caitlin Kern with Ski Utah. It's 8:43. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, public tickets to this year's Park City Follies, The Last Straw, sold out. But you can still get tickets. In the studio to tell us how, I have the executive director of the Egyptian Theater Company, along with the director of the Park City Follies, Paul Tan. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. So, thanks for inviting us in.
Yeah, so fastest sellout ever?
No, I wouldn't think so. It's a, you know, it's a very popular show, and thanks to Paul Tan and the creative team and the many, many years that has gone into this. 19 years.
Yeah,
19.
This is the 19th.
Yeah, it is the largest source of support for our nonprofit, other than the wrap and restaurant tax, which is supported also by the listeners and the public. So, but this particular show is, it's sold out every year, I think, in my tenure. So probably 14 of the 19 we've had sellouts, and we've expanded as far as we can expand to number of nights.
Yeah, I think it started selling out when we did, I think, 4 shows. And that was probably 10, 12 years ago.
Right.
And then we just keep advancing. Now we're at 9 shows, which is plenty.
We like the nine-show platform.
Yeah. It works well.
Yeah, well, so if you continue to sell out, then, I mean, is it time to find a bigger venue? I know it's for the Egyptian Theater, but if more people want to participate.
Well, you know, we've talked about it, that, you know, we could go with the route of Salt Lake Acting and do this thing for months and months and pay the actors, but it is a end-of-season, small-town celebration in a beautiful historic theater that is the home of the Follies. It wouldn't feel right to try to do it at a Bravenel Hall. Or
as long as I'm here, it's at the Egyptian. You move it, and that'll be the last time I direct it. I can promise you that.
Yeah. And we have behind the scenes, you know, our tech and marketing and, you know, hospitality team that entertains world-class musicians on a weekly basis. And, you know, I think Follies is a beneficiary of that as much as we're a beneficiary of you.
Well, and it's a secret sauce, you know, what goes into the soup. And part of that is, it is a hard ticket to get. And you do have to have kind of an inside track a little bit. And you got to be watching Facebook, and you have to know your friends that tell you when the tickets go on sale. And I want people to go see it, but I also like the idea that, oh, it's a month out and I miss getting tickets. You know, part of that is appealing to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry for people that didn't get tickets, but that's the way the show works. You know, to be a real true inside local and see this thing is, you kind of earn that right a little bit. And, mm-hmm. you know, I say that tongue in cheek a little, but it is kind of true. People
you
are
earn
proud.
The right to be in it. That's for
well,
sure.
That,
I mean, to be lampooned.
We have like 3 new people this year.
You haven't lampooned Leslie Thatcher
yes,
yet.
We have. Yes, we have. We've, yeah, many times. Oh. I'm surprised she invited me here this morning.
Tell me, the dates, then. We've got 2 weekends?
2 weekends. It opens next Friday night, and it's the last weekend of April, the first weekend of May. But it's not just weekends. We go that last week. We go Tuesday through Sunday. Every single evening. But this year is very special, Leslie, because we're in the last 2 months of a capital campaign to expand. And it's kind of surprising to people that we have the ability to expand, but we do. And it is underground. There's a tunnel that runs under Main Street that connects to a space across the street in the Parkite that we were able to purchase a year ago with some great philanthropy from our longtime locals, principally Rick and Carmen Rogers and Lynn and Tom Fay and David and Tammy Krajewski, the original founders of what we call Save Our Stage, were able to give us the means to buy a new basic area that we will build a new black box theater and a series of classrooms so that our kids have a permanent home. So when we looked at Follies this year, we thought, let's use that as the final ask, the final push to gain all of the funds we need to truly build a performing arts complex in the historic district. And so we raised the price this year. They'll go back next year. But we raised the price for individual tickets, and we have held on to all of the cabaret tables and the balconies for a premium price. So if folks say, I really want to see Follies. There's two things they can do, and there's only two things. One, if you join what we call our Faro Club on a year-round basis, then you have the ability to buy tickets. We are holding probably anywhere from 30 to 60 tickets per show right now for our Faro Club members. Or you can gather a bunch of friends together and purchase a balcony. They're $2,500, but that's up to 19 people. And if you do a balcony, it's a private party. You can bring in your own food, alcohol, non-alcohol, have a little party upstairs before the show, and really, really make an evening of it. And we are holding on to all of those balconies. So there's two per show. So if my math's right, 18 times.
That's good math,
18
Randy.
Groups. And the cabaret tables are $1,000 a table for four people, but then you are right up front, right a part of it. And this is fully tax deductible. We sell enough through our bar during Follies to cover the cost of everything. So every ticket sale... Yeah, every ticket sale goes towards this new space and these and 100 years of arts and culture and education on Main Street. We're very proud of it.
So you had to hold on to your coveted liquor licenses for the entire, except for Sundance, huh?
This we use Sundance. 12 a year, and we decide, all right, where are they best used? And two during the Christmas holiday, three during Sundance, three during Follies, and that only gives us four to splash around the rest of the year.
Yeah. Okay. Are you still taking a wait list or no?
Not really. No, we are really, really hoping the community will rise up and support us and get together with all your friends and buy a balcony or find four of you and get a cabaret table. And again, it's fully tax deductible, and it is the only way you can get Follies tickets. Now, if you join our Faro Club, you can get two tickets at the normal prices.
Okay.
Because we are holding seats. So either join the Faro Club, that opens up seats, or come to us and offer to support us, and we'll give you a cabaret table or a balcony for that premium price.
You have a tiered system, so what, starting at $750 for a Faro Club membership?
Yes, $750 for a whole year.
Okay. Paul, as I mentioned, the title of this year's Follies, The Last Straw. That refers to what?
You know, we like to keep a little bit of an
enigma. Don't give it all away.
So I wasn't going to give any of it away.
Yes, yeah.
The poster is a good example of a Sundance bottle with a reusable one-time use straw sticking out of it. So it gives you a little bit of a hint of some of the issues. And you know, there's five writers on this thing, and so our ideas come from each different writer. I'm a big one on like entitlement. You know, every day I walk out of my house, I'm just amazed I live here, and that never really, you wait in a lift line, so what? The things that we complain about, I don't know. I have real issues with that. And so, you know, The Last Straw refers to a couple of different things, and obviously, you know, sustainability and things that are biodegradable and how our town works. And, you know, those are big aspects of this year. It's not the overarching story, but it's just parts of it. And a lot of times our posters really only just hint at things. And so it is going to be fun. It's a great year. We've been working on it already. We started up a couple weeks ago, and we're moving right along. But I don't want to give much away. People don't want to hear what it's about before they get there either. So yeah.
And it's about everything.
Right. It's about
Park
City.
The videos and, you
it's about
know,
you and me and our neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because it's not just a live show. You do, how many videos do you have?
Typically,
produced?
We do about six videos. We've got some this year that I can't wait ever to see 350 people watch the whole show, of course, and the songs. But the videos are a special kind of magic, I think. I'm not sure what it is. A lot of times it's because we put people in that can't be in there. The mayor, he doesn't have the time. Past mayors, some kind of people that we always call kind of like locally famous. And instead of spending the amount of time that it would take to be on stage, you included, we put them in videos.
And cameos,
yeah. And they're one of my favorite parts of the Follies, because we can go down different roads that we can't do on stage. And we have six again this year, and they're really cool. We have a submission from one of our somebody that has gone to the show over the years and said, "Hey, can I do a video for you?" And we're like, "Sure." And he ran the idea by us, and we approved it, and he did it. His name's Paul Hockman. Some people would know him. And It's a great little video, and it's a neat flavor to have that in there. So it'll be cool. I really like that part of the show.
Well, and the show itself, you know, is somewhat the sideline to the celebration of all things local.
Right.
You know, just all the people that show up, the excitement, the
celebration is the right word because we always say it's an honor to be spoofed by us because we're not overly mean or, you know, we very rarely go down national politics and things like that. It's just that's for turn on Stephen Colbert and late night if you want to get that. We always say if you live beyond 10 miles of the epicenter of Park City, you probably maybe shouldn't go. And excluding Tom, because Tom, of course, is the fabric of Park City, and he lives more than 10 miles away from the epicenter. But it's the people that are the fabric of the community that really understand and get and want to see this show. And that's the neatest part of it, is that it really is a reflection of the community.
So how many actors do you have on this year's
production? Oh, boy. We probably have 28 or 29. Wow. I'd like to mention also Park Records sponsored us every single year, 19 years in a row. They've been behind us, and we thank them for that. And, you know, even the years when we didn't make a lot of money and it was the beginning, we're in a different situation now, and we're grateful for that, and we're grateful for them. And that's just another piece of the puzzle, the 1,000 pieces that put this whole thing together.
Okay. Any good stories that you can share, though, about rehearsals or something?
Well, the stories abound. But, you know, it's part of being the network with us. You get to know these things, and you get to hear them, and we're all part of it.
Okay. Anything else? Brandy, your number's 435-649-9371.
That is correct. That's the theater or parkcityshows.com. And again, it's two ways to get Follies tickets. Join the Faro Club or call the box office about special premium seating in cabaret tables or our balconies. And we hope to see you all there. It's coming fast, Paul,
yep,
in 2 weeks.
Always comes fast.
Two weeks from today, Follies 2019.
Okay. Randy, Paul, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Leslie.